Fitzy and Whipper.
When I walked in this morning, Tom was celebrating, Fitzy. The screams from the office. God, I thought it was New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I started filling out my census again.
Back up again, which means we've all got something to do this weekend, which is good news.
Well, it was funny. We, on the project last night, we had a guy who was a cybersecurity expert, right? Mm. And basically, we said to him, well, how do you know what happened? And he said, well, let's just say I've been in the industry for 15 years. I know people who know people that were involved with the census. He couldn't name names, but to put it in layman's terms, because he was a massive nerd and I didn't understand anything he was saying.
Nerd.
Basically, what happened is that the government went for the cheaper option. Right? So they could have paid extra, had all this security around it, and no one would have been able to get into it at all. But they said, no, we've got to save money. Went with a cheaper option, and they used IBM, who we know is a huge computer brand, to run it.
Extremely reputable.
Apparently, they paid them $10 million to run the census.
Got them.
But this guy was saying that IBM, like this, they could be sued because they reckon the job was so dodgy that it was just, they couldn't believe how easy people were attacking the website.
God.
So all the attacks were happening from inside Australia. They weren't happening from outside.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
How we heard it might have been Sun Yang from China.
That's right, yeah, he was
involved.
They're
all coming in. It was all coming from inside of Australia. And then what happened is that they freaked out and said, we're being attacked. And they thought that information, the people that had actually filled out their census, all that information was actually getting leaked.
Yeah, right, because there was 2 million, I think, that had filled it out when it was hacked.
Yes. So at 7:30 that night, about 7:45, around that time, that's when someone basically just pulled the cord out of the wall and turned the whole thing off. That's when it went down.
I just love that it came down to something so simple where a meeting would have ended with Gary, pull the plug.
How good would it
be? Just shut the computer down, mate. Take all the hard drives out.
Control-Alt-D, delete, please, press it. But I just would have loved to have been in that room where they were going, oh, my God, I think they're stealing everyone's information. What do we do? What do we do? Pull the cord out.
But it was meant to be the biggest celebration ever. The interesting thing is, too, like I wonder if people sat around, like hackers, and we always talk about it on the show, and we're trying to get a hacker. And 13, 24, 10, if you're a hacker and you've got any insight to how this works, there's one thing to hack into a website, I would have thought. It's another thing to then start stealing the data and take it. Like, if you're able to get in, does that mean you can just do what you want while you're in there?
Well, what are you going to do with the kind of data you were going to get on census night, though?
Well, Sarah, I know you don't, but it's very important information. That's the data that Facebook, Google, that they all have. That's why those companies are worth so much money.
Yeah, but they would have more. Facebook would have more on me because they see what I go on, what I like, websites I look at. The census knows how much housework I do and that I have no kids.
But they know what you like. You know, they know how much you earn. Mm-hmm. They know all your details. They've got your address. They've got your date of birth. They've got everything.
No.
Like they could then go and hack into your financial institution.
Because what Fitzy's talking about with the larger companies selling the data and they have the individual data they have on people, there was an article saying that the government could make $41 million off the data from the census. So behind
more,
the scenes...
More than 41
Yeah, it was
million,
more than 41,
it's
wasn't
be
it?
More than 41 million.
No, it was worth a hell of a lot. So behind the scenes, the government was sort of rubbing their hands together going, this is a walk in the park. Spend 10 on IBM, we get all this data, which is going to make us a fortune. Unfortunately, Steve, pull the plug out of the wall, mate.
Pull the plug out of the wall.
It's just... Bugger it, guys. We're just going to get out of this right now. We'll keep you up to date with the census, but fun for your weekend. You know, while we talk about putting our hands together for getting up so early and being part of the 6 o'clock club, I'd like to continue that clap this morning for Kyle Chalmers. Yesterday, the 100-metre free, I just couldn't believe it. We were sitting around here yesterday during the show having a look at the race, thinking, is it possible? Because he certainly didn't go in favourite. And to see him turn last, right, at the 50-metre mark and then steam home was just phenomenal. Moving, what dreams are made of.
Pure power, that last 50 metres, just flew home. You know, the first thing that I thought when I saw that he'd won gold, what I was doing at 18 years of age.
Don't ask.
And I was nowhere near winning a gold medal.
in a car park graffitiing something where we fit.
Applying for a job at Menzies.
Sprinting on something else, but it wasn't a track, that's for sure, or in a pole.
Quite interesting. He was one of those. He's one of those kids too. They spoke to the principal from the school yesterday in Adelaide, and there he was talking about how he's an A-grade student. He's played for the first 18 footy team as well, but he was injured in that, and they just wanted him to focus on his swimming. And then the school sits as one, and they cheer him home. What was what was even more moving was, of course, the footage that I'm sure everyone's seen. Malcolm and Julie, his grandparents, sitting there in disbelief and the emotion of granny. Here was the moment if you've missed it.
For the first time, I've got teary. Well, I wonder why. He's gold. Come on, mate.
I mean, it's hard to picture Fitzy, but imagine Huey's kid winning gold at an Olympics down the track.
Huey?
Yeah. If you're a grandparent.
What do you mean?
It feels like a stretch too far for Fitz this morning.
You always put yourself in that situation because it's the grandparents. Yeah. When Huey has a kid, that would be like you being in the grandparents' position is what I'm saying this morning.
Yeah, you'd still be pretty proud,
I know. I just always sit back and I think, imagine if that happened to me. Someone in the family got a gold medal.
I don't think you're going to get that. But, no, it was like, and for Port Lincoln, which is such a tiny little town, I just love hearing stories like this. And I'm with you. I love the underdog because he wasn't favourite to win it. He's only 18 years of age and he's got up. And it seems they're the biggest moments for Australia in the Olympics.
Yep.
Like Mac Horton was the other one. He wasn't favourite.
Just amazing. Couple of other things getting around Rio news today. Of course, Jess Fox won bronze in the women's kayak single final. Fiji have guaranteed their first medal because they go into the final, to qualify for gold medal with the rugby sevens against Britain. But it's either gold or silver. Well done, guys. The golf course is an interesting one. That kicks off today. Number of wild animals and players have been warned to be careful of giant rats across the golf course.
Wow.
So rats on a golf course.
You know when you're just putting, right? And you just feel something latch onto the back of your leg.
Yeah, something feeling? Nipping at you, grabbing onto your bag.
There's just, there's nothing worse than being attacked by a giant rat. What else have we got? Sitting at number 4 still today, guys, in the medal tally. So we're looking pretty good. And there was an article getting around last night. And I know we sat and watched the Aussies and they didn't win the basketball. They lost to the US yesterday. There's an article written about how we can win this. We rattled the Americans yesterday.
Did we?
We're still in a gold medal contention in the basketball.
Don't worry
about that.
We always love getting this man on the show. Good friend, Chris Martin. Is he there? Chris, you there?
Hi, guys. How are you doing? This is Chris.
Mr. Chris Martin, what an honour to speak to you. Welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you, guys.
We're very, very excited because, we always love getting you on the show, but also we're thrilled that we're going to be seeing you in the flesh very, very shortly.
What is that? Oh, tour. Yeah, we're coming on tour. And if you like Coldplay, you might want to come and you're very welcome. And I don't know where we're playing exactly, but I'm sure it's somewhere nice. And we're going to be there.
You're coming back in December. You're playing Allianz Stadium December 13. And it was also great to send some of our listeners over to you for Nova's Red Room. That was in Manchester. So it's going to be even better to have you back here in Australia, Chris.
Oh, well, we love it, man. I mean, we're so blessed. Ever since we came all those years ago for the big day out, it's always something we look forward to doing is penciling in, you know, that side of the world because it's a treat for us. You live there all the time, so you don't understand. But for us, it's like a holiday and just a thrill. And, you know,
I remember.
It makes us so happy.
Chris, do you remember your first big day out and you were wearing all black and it was about 40 degrees? You were sweating like a pig, but you got through it.
I was just trying to hide from Limp Bizkit fans.
You were doing it for the nookie.
It didn't work. I was in it for nookie, but those were the days when we were playing with, you know, very, very different types of bands, which is wonderful.
Mm.
But some people in the afternoon would be a little bit wasted, maybe not so into the old Coldplay. We were trying to blend in.
That was when I remember the Strokes, first time they came to Australia, they played before Metallica at the big day out. So you can imagine the Metallica crowd waiting for Metallica to come on and then the Strokes come out. There was a few beer cans being thrown.
Yeah, but you know, that's part of, I think, being a young band, and it's always good to be reminded that there's plenty of choice in the world, and you know, it just makes you grateful for the people that come to your own shows. That's what it makes me feel.
Well, Chris, have you worked out who the support act's going to be for your Australian tour yet? Any idea?
I think so, but I'm not sure if they're ready to announce because I'm not sure if it's all confirmed.
How does that work, Chris?
Well, in this instance, there's an Australian girl that I emailed a while ago, this artist, but I'm not. But that was the last I heard of it.
That's
so hopefully
right.
It's happening. But,
okay,
that's not a bad email to get. I mean, just to receive an email from Chris Martin, you'd be pretty excited.
You know what? I'd love to ask Chris Martin. I read about you actually recording under hypnosis. Is that correct?
That was about 10 years ago.
I mean, we've got a show that's just gone bananas here on TV called "You're Back in the Room," and it's people doing phenomenal things under hypnosis. Was it quite bizarre?
I'm going to say yes, just to make it sound good.
So it was boring. So it didn't work. All right, tick that one off.
I don't know if it would have made it onto your show.
No, sure.
We might have just looked like five quite lazy men.
Yeah. For anyone that hasn't been to a Coldplay show, it is just an all-round experience that you'll never, ever forget.
December can't come soon enough, mate.
Love playing in Australia. We all do. And so I'm just feeling lucky to be able to announce the tour.
Well, yeah, I said it last time we spoke, Chris. Coldplay is the best live show I've ever been to, and I can't wait.
Well, you need to get out more, but thanks a lot.
It'll be a big event when I turn up December 13.
We know you're about to hop onto a plane to LA, Chris, so appreciate your time, mate. Really, really excited to have you guys back here in December.
Thank you, guys. We love you. We'll see you soon. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Oh! I only just realised. With Fitzy and Whipper.
A couple of tickets to Gold Class. How good is that? Are you telling me, Fitzy, they do a Malteser milkshake?
Oh, it is unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
And you can, you know what? Like, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. You can get it at the start of the movie, halfway through the movie,
way.
Or towards the end.
Tommy, I'm just going outside. I'm going to call through as Steve.
Okay.
Make sure I'm the
You'll
winner.
You'll be Steve.
See you guys.
All right. Good luck,
I've
Steve.
I've only just realised that this show's so much better without Whipper.
Back again. No, I heard that. I'm right here, Jason in Padstow. What did your cousin only just realise?
Hey, good morning. Look, he was talking to his girlfriend at the time, and he was sitting on his balcony, and it was a nice big full moon. And he said to her, how good does the moon look tonight? And she was out at Blacktown. And she said, how can we be looking at the same moon? Didn't realise that they were looking at the same moon.
There's a couple of moons in Star Wars.
Yeah.
May have got confused. You weren't watching Star Wars at the drive-in, were you, Jason? No?
No, I wasn't, no.
Jason, Fitzy and I did a video once where there was a lot of dacking in it. If you go and have a look at that, you'll see some other moons. You probably don't want your girlfriend to see that either. There were some ugly moons. One in reception in particular, where I lost my strides.
Emma, in Kurrajong, what have you only just realised then?
I've only just realised that palm oil, so you know how everyone talks about how it kills the orangutans?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've only just realised that the oil comes from their habitat, not so much the orangutan themselves.
Ah, right. So you thought they were coming from the palms of orangutans?
No, well, that's what everyone says. I just thought that maybe they were killing the orangutans and just taking... I don't know. I didn't actually think it through, I don't think, but yeah.
I don't think you did it.
No.
No, but that's not the point. You can't feel silly in this segment. Interesting one. I mean, I think the world would have known a little bit more if they were killing orangutans
right. Or
oil
just to
from
squeeze
them.
The orangutans to get the oil out is quite hard to do.
Jesse, right for your palms, though.
Jesse, what have you only just realised, Jess?
Mate, you know those giant hay bales wrapped in green plastic out on the farms?
Yep.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, my mum told me that they were giant pumpkins, and I believed it up until not long ago on a road trip with some mates.
That's amazing.
When I sort of pointed out.
So you know,
they grow those pumpkins so big.
That's one of the. It's one of the pleasures of being a parent and your kids being so young is that you can just brainwash them with whatever you want. It's like my dad, where we grew up, there was a mountain, a hill with a huge. It sort of collapsed. One side of it collapsed there. And so every time we drove past it, Dad's big joke was, that's Broken Hill.
Oh, and you felt
so
that.
I always thought that was Broken Hill. So, you know, when I would say to my mates at footy and that, we went past Broken Hill the other day, they're like, Broken Hill's 6 hours away, you peanut.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not fair. You know what? We used to watch The Sound of Music growing up. And I used to say, Mum, where do the Von Trapps live? And she would say, oh, a long way away, just over that way. So I would say to everyone, on the Von Trapps, they live just, if you cross over that street, they're just over the next hill. So we might go and see them on the weekend. Do you know the Von Trapps live just over there if you go over that hill?
Because you lived in a similar house to the Von Trapps as well.
You had a different nanny though,
different,
yeah?
Completely
yeah,
different nanny.
Correct.
Couldn't sing, we didn't dance, and we didn't make pyjamas out of the curtains. Yeah. Caroline, hello.
Hi.
What have you just realised?
I've only just realised that the Royal Flying Doctor Service is like a specialised service and not a service that puts doctors on every flight in Australia.
Oh, wow.
That's not a bad idea, though.
Yeah, but no, I think we don't have enough doctors for that, Sarah.
Maybe.
That's not because, you know, you always hear of... Do you know how you always hear that there's someone from security or from the government on a flight just in case there's a terrorist?
That's right.
What, the doctors...
But quite often, when you're on a plane, I mean, every time... Well, it's happened a couple of times where someone said, is there a doctor on board? There's always a doctor on board, isn't there?
We went to Bali in June, and a guy passed out on the flight. A doctor on board, two people stepped up.
Isn't that amazing?
That's good.
Your dad's done it a couple of times, hasn't he, Sarah? Oh, no, he refused.
No, sorry, I got a text after I said he refused. He doesn't refuse. He told me off for that. He doesn't. He absolutely does put his hand up.
No, he doesn't.
No, he does. I do not need to go through that family. I got a hiding as a 33-year-old for that.
Yeah, I'm a doctor, but I'm not helping him.
He's up in business class and he's not moving from
his seat. He's got a champagne in his hand. Someone's having a heart attack and I don't care.
Rachel in Penrith, what have you only just realised?
Before I tell you my amazing story, any chance I could get a key ring?
hang on.
You're cutting out there, Rach.
Sorry,
what have you only just realised?
So the other weekend, we were going away for our anniversary, and we went through the harbour tunnel, and I realised that the harbour tunnel actually goes under the water.
Oh, come on.
Where did you think it goes?
Good question.
I thought it was the name, and it was just a tunnel that went, you know, around the through the city, and it just happened to be called the Harbour Tunnel.
Wow,
I didn't
like it. Just been named.
Yeah, just been named Harbour Tunnel.
Where would the Cross City Tunnel go, sir? You know,
it's so confusing.
Why did they name it that? That is just Lane Cove Tunnel. Where's that?
This is a tough one this morning.
So weird.
Do we go Jesse with the giant pumpkins?
Jesse with the giant
Sarah,
pumpkins.
Sarah, what do you reckon? Or Emma from Carajong with the squeezing the orangutans for palm oil.
No, I reckon the giant pumpkins. That's a life of explanation going on there.
All right, Jesse, you've got it.
Gold class, mate. Well done.
Let's get back to Rio, team. Interesting one out of town with Serena Williams.
Hello, Rio.
This is it's quite confusing for a superior athlete of her standard and professionalism. She's a little bit sick, unfortunately, because she's eaten dog food that arrived via the room service.
Oh, gross.
What did she order dog food?
Well, apparently there was a menu for dogs.
And she chose from that.
I know. It's one of the strangest stories I've ever read. She's eaten that.
But wait up. Usually you get a steak or you get a chicken breast.
Yep.
My dog, I wouldn't be ordering my dog or a schmacko.
She came and said, it looked that good. I ate a spoonful. Please don't judge me. So she knew it was dog food.
Did I hear this in the office this morning that you love the smell of dog food?
Well, I remember I used to feed Jessie. Poor Jessie. God, rest in peace, you beautiful dog. We had to put her down. She had a prolapsed vulva. And she had an operation. Then Mum had to apply a cream. And
God.
I don't know.
It was... And John came home after a few too many scotches.
When I would feed her.
I'll put the cream on tonight.
Oh, man.
Oh, beautiful golden retriever. You all right, Sarah?
Yeah, sure.
You all right, Ryan James?
I'm a great sympathiser for people with dogs.
You love dogs.
I love dogs.
So I would open the pail every night. That was one of my jobs at home. Mm. But I remember every night I would open the top of the tin and I'd go, doesn't smell that bad. Like, I got used to the smell and I rather enjoyed it. And Magic Millie, you said, I agree.
Yeah, that was my favourite job was, feeding the dog because I'd just open that tin
what
and
was
the
it?
Smell. Oh, It was like turkey, or you know, like the turkey one mixed with vegetables.
Cranberry.
So good.
Oh, mate, it's gross.
But see, what are you doing?
It's weird. Some of those smell, because petrol's the same for me. I love the smell of petrol.
Yeah,
for
so
or,
do I.
Or a texter.
And black texters.
Enough to want to taste it, Fitz?
No, no, not taste it. But dog food, no way. The taste, that smell is gross.
13, 24, 10, if you've eaten something and it wasn't for humans.
Well, have you guys seen, they actually do have that ice cream for dogs.
Do they?
It's called Gulp. Yeah. It's vanilla and green tea or vanilla and berry. To be fair, no, I'd probably give that a crack.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Normal chocolate, because I've dropped a couple of Hague's freckles on the floor before in Cooper's.
Fitzy, that is so bad.
No, but I didn't mean, like Sarah, I've dropped them and he's come along and eaten them. And then next thing, it makes them crook as a dog.
Yeah, chocolate is so bad. I give Winnie popcorn and pizza and pretty much anything I'm eating, he eats. But you've got to draw the line at chocolate.
You say it like that's what you're feeding the dog. No, he just has your leftovers.
No, so he'll sit with me and I have a bite and then he has a bite.
Oh.
Apart from dog food, food that's not for human consumption. Yeah. Well, I mean, what else are we talking here, I suppose?
Oh, God, it could be anything.
Tim in Glenmore Park, what did you eat, Timmy?
Hey, morning, boys. It's Tim Whopper.
It's Whipper. Oh, Timmy, I'll just jump in there, mate. You've mispronounced
it. Sorry, my bad.
What's your story, Tim?
So I was about 7 years old and went to pour some cereal out, some Cocoa Puffs, if I remember it properly, and, poured the milk onto the cereal, said to my old man it tastes a bit funny, and he said, well, you've just poured it out, you've got to eat it. Mum came in a second later, asked where the fabric softener was.
Oh.
Still to this day, I have no idea why the hell she would put it in the milk carton in the fridge. But, I got a couple of spoonfuls in there, and the look on my dad's face was priceless to this paper. I spent the next few hours flushing it out with water.
Your breath was magnificent, though.
Yeah, your stomach was so soft.
And my tongue was so soft, too.
Well done, Timmy. Thanks for your call.
Jason in Richmond, what did you eat, Jase?
Hello, boys. 50 and Hippo.
Hang on, just stop everything for a minute. Hey, Magic a Millie and 007 Ben, telling people to call me a hippo? No, they're saying they're not. I don't know who to believe.
You've done something wrong.
You can't have someone call me Whopper and then hippo in two calls. Oh, no. It's not funny.
I mean, good things come in threes, though. But, Jase, what's your story, mate?
I ate body wash once.
Body wash?
Yeah, I thought, it smells a bit like strawberry yogurt. I'm like, it might taste similar, but that wasn't the case.
So it was like shampoo when you ate it?
Yeah, it was like shampoo. Put some on the front, I thought it was good. I might just have a bit.
You're an idiot, Jase. I mean, I never really say that to a caller, but...
I mean, if you start out in the desert and all you had was body wash...
Yeah.
Could you survive on it?
Bit of fabric softener for dessert. You're beauty.
And a bit of dog food. Dan from Woi Woi, what did you eat?
Itchy, hippo, how you going?
Oh, bye.
I'm out. That's three. I'm out. I mean, especially with the City to Surf weekend coming up, where we're all encouraging everyone to be active, and I'm being called a hippo. Anyway, I suppose we should take your call. Dan, what's your story? Because I'm not interested.
Yeah. I came home drunk one night when I was staying at my mum's when I was about 19. Decided to have a seat, toast and Devon and cheese melt on top.
Yep.
Cut it all up, started eating it, found out it's a bit grainy and looked at it and it was cat food, cat roll.
Yeah, but see, cat food is a lot different to dog food because cat food has a lot of tuna and has bones and stuff in it. It's gross.
Yeah, it was a bit grainy like rice or something in it.
Dan, were you sick?
Yeah, after that, yeah.
Okay, well done, Dan. We should never have taken that call anyway. Well, see my point.
It just goes to show, I mean, if she's the greatest, or she's regarded as one of the greatest tennis players of all time, and if dog food works,
young
kids out there, Kyrgios, Tomic, get onto it, guys. I know you're ranked about 18, 19 at the moment. If you want to get to number one, give us a call and we'll send you out some My Dog. Lights, camera,
clarity. Sarah's bearers, things aren't looking good for Taylor and Tom, is that right?
Yeah, well, the other day I told you guys how Tom Hiddleston had joined Instagram finally, but that he wasn't following Taylor Swift and she wasn't following him. So everyone was watching them and thinking, what's going on? Well, now her friends and family have slowly been unfollowing him on social media.
Oh, no. Slowly.
Yeah.
One a day. Oh, we lost Uncle Terry today.
I don't know whether people are just reading into this, but then who takes the time to unfollow people these days?
Who takes the time? time to check whether their family's unfollowing.
Well, TMZ would, or someone would like that. No, I mean, they would go through every Swift family member and see if they're following Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, apparently it started with Taylor's brother, Austin. He was the first. Blake Lively's Austin unfollowed. Swift. Few like that. Ruby Rose, though, that wouldn't worry me too much.
Oh no.
Ruby stopped following him.
But what would Ruby have to say about it? Has Ruby come out and said anything yet?
No.
I have to wait.
Yeah, sadly, I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
So, guys, the other day I was telling you about The Rock and how he's having this fight with his Fast and Furious 8 cast members, and he called them unprofessional and chickens, that word.
Yep.
So... The response, though, he never pinpointed which of the male co-stars he was quite annoyed with. Anyway, we can pretty much confirm it's Vin Diesel after Vin uploaded this video to his own Instagram overnight.
To finally to come home and to learn that your little angel learned a new word. The new word is happy. I just lit up in ways I can't even describe. All right, so give me a second and I will tell you. Everything.
I love Morgan Freeman.
He's so creepy.
Vin's lost it.
Yeah. Hasn't he?
Because filming's finished, so he's saying the new word is happy. Yeah, so I will tell you everything.
Oh, no. Everything. Do you remember when Vin was supposed to be, he was booked in for the Rudy Hill RSL? Do you remember that?
Was he? To do what?
They were advertising that Vin Diesel was going to rock up and sign autographs at Rudy Hill RSL a few years ago.
What, like bingo night or something?
They found out that they hadn't really checked with their management yet, but Rudy Hill, I think, were advertising.
Wow. Doing Morgan Freeman impersonations.
Just drifting out the front in a car, in the car doing burnouts.
Overnight, Britney Spears has had to release her new song, Clumsy, because it's ironically been leaked online. So she's now pushed it forward. Her album is out in a few weeks, but this song wasn't supposed to come out yet. Have a listen.
Country. It's weird. Is this the one that had the film clip?
A lot of auto-tune.
Where there was a couple of controversial moments from the film clip. It was her cracking it. There was a scene from, or it was behind the scenes footage of her unhappy with the dancers in it. Then it was released and they said it was far too sexy. And even fans were saying, far too much, Britney.
I don't think Britney can do far too sexy anymore. That was 10 years ago, Britney.
Yeah, hippie baby.
She's in the best nick she's ever been in, I think, Sarah, well said, at the moment. Mate. Well said. Just leave Britney alone.
I'm so sorry, Fitz. I didn't realise. You were such a passionate fan.
Love her.
I'm going to have a few Britney Spears tonight when I get home. That's rhyming slang for beers.
Yeah, we
Sarah.
Get it. Thank you. Bloody Australian.
Thank you. That's finally, awesome. Hugh Grant has done this interview with Howard Stern, and he's come out with a few doozies, one of which was that he actually turned down the role to replace Charlie Sheen on 2.5 Men. So he was approached before Ashton Kutcher.
Hugh Grant.
And he said, he said he was too scared to sign on without a script, and he just thought it was too much.
I feel sorry for him. He's a bumbling mess. A lot of people think that's attractive. Remember when we met him, Fitz, he was almost too nervous to answer anything. Like, I just wanted to say to him beforehand, we're not going to bring up Divine Brown.
I know, yeah. Well,
like,
I think
I'm
he's
not
going
to ask about you getting it on with that lady of the night in the back of the car.
He's on the back foot the whole time, Hugh Grant. I think he thinks that the whole world is out to get him, and I feel sorry for him a little bit because he's just defensive the whole time.
Nervous
just
wreck.
Just relax, mate. You're that bumbling mess in the movies. You're very good at it.
I have to say, I disagree with you guys entirely. He plays that character, but I think he comes across as someone who is incredibly confident. One of the things he did say to Howard was that he believes affairs are the key to a lasting marriage. He never wants to get married, but he thinks this is the way to make a marriage work. Have a listen.
I've always admired the French and the Italians, who are very devoted to their marriages, but it is understood that there may be other visitors at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
But you just never boast about it, you never say anything, but that keeps the marriages together.
Love's an afternoon delight.
Yeah, doesn't he? A 5 o'clock special.
Okay. Love 101 with Hugh Grant.
From the guy who's made more romantic comedies than any other actor in the world, he says, don't get married, and if you do, have an affair.
Yeah, just don't call him at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, guys? Because he is busy.
Lost my wife for the last couple of days, guys.
Where's she gone?
What happened, Sarah? Out the front of our house, we had a family of rainbow lorikeets.
Oh, great.
Beautiful birds.
And we've got a little water fountain out the front of our place, so they like to come in there and play around. And
So what did the family start doing? Throwing some bread. Then they decided to hang around a little bit more. Now, there was the mother and father, and we saw the little baby lorikeet there for a little bit. And then the baby lorikeet went missing. We didn't know where it was. Now, the baby lorikeet had fallen down into the next door neighbour's house and couldn't fly out. So this, right, this was Wednesday. My wife, and you know what? There's a lot of people out there that are like this. When she sees a wounded animal, she can't let it go. So she basically became the mother of that baby lorikeet for the last 2 days.
Aww.
Right, to the point, Sarah, where the parents would go away and leave the baby lorikeet and BJ would be the mother until they came back, and BJ would then take the baby lorikeet out into the front porch and then the mother would come over and feed the baby lorikeet. My wife was freaking out because the baby couldn't fly. Right, so she rang the local vet, she took it up there, they gave her some special milk and said, look, we'll investigate a little bit more. This happened for 2 days. She couldn't even talk to me. Yesterday, she took Huey to school, Lenny went to daycare, and Thursday is her favourite day because I'm not there either. She can go out, she can go to the
play
gym,
with the lorikeet.
She can go shopping, she can do whatever she wants. She stayed on the front porch for a whole day with this baby lorikeet.
Mate, I got home yesterday and Lisa said, have you seen what BJ's just put on Instagram?
Oh, that was
and
the
I
cutest
said, no,
picture.
I haven't. And Lisa said, BJ's got a new pet. It's a lorikeet. And there's a picture with the bird on her chest saying, being hanging with this bubba lorikeet all day today. He's injured and the lovely people are coming to help.
She Snapchatted her whole journey, mate. Okay, so this is what she had on. This is what she had on Snapchat. She went to a lot of effort.
Yeah.
I've found a little baby lorikeet yesterday, and he survived the night. So this is him here. He's only a bubba, and we've got the wise people coming to collect him. Okay, it's almost time to say goodbye to this little beautiful bird. Oh, little lorikeet's gone to the vet.
Oh, that's something in our teeth. Ugh.
Something in its tooth. In its
so that's the Snapchat journey, right?
Yeah.
So they take her off.
That's
they
great.
They take the baby lorikeet to the vet. And I went, well done, honey. And she said, you know, I was a bit worried about it, but I feel really good about myself. And then yesterday I received a text message.
Oh, no.
The vet just checked and they rang me. They had to put the baby lorikeet down. It had a broken wing. I'm really sad.
Do you know how they put birds down? Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. No, it's
Tommy's
with a needle and it happens really quickly.
Yeah, they pat it on the back of the head and it just falls asleep quietly.
Oh, God, BJ's so big-hearted, she would have been devastated.
Well, why can't she spend that amount of attention with her husband? That's all I ask.
Because...
You're not as cute, for starters.
No, and it's easy to love something that loves you back and it's worth caring for.
Oh.
That's why I can see she's taking comfort with a lorikeet.
He's very cuddly, the little lorikeet.
Yeah, you're at the gym.
Yeah.
She's shattered. She reckons she's going to volunteer her time. Actually, you know, why don't we get her on? Is she on the line now? Honey, are you there?
I'm crying.
Oh, she is crying.
BJ,
she's very emotional.
Firstly, well done on the dedication you showed to the poor little bird that needed rescuing.
Oh, no. He fell. I thought he flew away. He got caught and I picked him up and I thought he flew away. But the next morning, the mum and dad were out there and I'm like, oh my gosh, where is it? And he'd fallen and he got stuck in our garage and he was there all night. So he survived the night. And anyway, I took him to the vet and as I said, I fed him and stuff. But it was really lovely. I was just out here all day just watching these birds come and go. And
I was there too.
Yeah,
I was
no, you
too.
Weren't, mate. BJ, do you remember when you were the little injured lorikeet and then Fitzy came in and rescued you?
No, not really.
I did find it a little bit weird last night when she said, I'm going to take it to the vet. And she was going to go to Bondi Vet with Dr. Chris Brown and she was just wearing lingerie. I said, That is. You're winding my wife up. She's crying on the radio and we're going to Drake.
Dr. Chris Brown put her down.
Oh,
on his bed.
Honey, you did a great job. Well done. Well, this is what the Olympics is all about. It's about the underdog.
It's about the 18-year-old kid that no one even knows about coming into the Olympics. And yesterday for Australia, goosebumps. Everybody got goosebumps when they saw Kyle Chalmers just power home in that last 50 to take out the gold for the 100-metre freestyle for Australia. And you know what was another touching video? Mm. And we just cried to this so much was watching his grandparents back in Port Lincoln in South Australia watch their grandson get over the line and win gold, not just for them, but for the country as well. And we've got Granddad on the line now. Malcolm, welcome to the show, buddy.
Welcome. Good morning.
Malcolm, it was so great. And Australia not only fell in love with Kyle, of course, yesterday with the performance in the pool, but you and Julie sitting there dedicated. How nervous were you on your lazy boy recliner as you saw your grandson dive into the pool?
Oh, it was just amazing. I just couldn't get over it. I think if you pinched me, I wouldn't have been able to feel it. I was just overwhelmed. It was just one of those things, a dream come true. I didn't think that he could possibly. I thought he had a chance, you know. I really did. Always, I had that feeling he had a chance to medal, but to gold. Mm. Ah, he is our golden boy. Just amazing.
Just amazing. Malcolm, have you had an opportunity to speak to him yet?
Yes, I have. Matter of fact, Julie and I we Skyped them last night. I beg your pardon, not Kyle, to his parents.
Right. To his parents, because Malcolm, he's still preparing. He's got a few more races in. Well, what has he got left, Malcolm?
Well, as I understand, talking to Brett and Jody and Jackson last night, that he will be going into another relay. That's all I know. And it'll be Saturday sometime.
Okay, right. Yeah. How is the town of Port Lincoln, Malcolm, at the moment? Oh, you've already had Dean Lucan. He won a weightlifting gold medal back in 1984. But the town must be a buzz there.
It's electric. I can tell you, it is electric. When the actual race finished and Kyle had got gold, next thing there was a car pulled up in front of our house, tooting its horn. And, it was just unbelievable. I said, have a look at this. We've got someone out there going crazy on his horn. We never ever got a chance to get downtown because Jules and I have just been constantly answering this phone. It's been going, and it's going again this morning.
You apologize.
Guys even wake me up.
I hope so, because we're falling in love with you guys, Malcolm. What did you actually do last night? Did you and Julie just sit down, or did you do something special? Was there a nice bottle of wine, or how did you celebrate?
Well, after we got the media, I couldn't believe the media were just coming on and on and on and on and on. And we couldn't even sit down to discuss it or have a talk. But when we eventually did, yes, we did get a drink out and we did celebrate here by the two of us. There was a couple of our neighbours come across and I was out the back still taping, doing some taping, and one of them came around and then we had a bottle of beer, or he brought a beer over for me, so that was fantastic.
Awesome.
So, yes, it certainly was.
And Julie had a nice shandy or something. Hey, what's the plan? Has there been any talk, Malcolm, about the return and the homecoming for Kyle? You know, the celebration obviously will be huge.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. All we've heard is a little bit from what was said over the media, over the TV, that maybe they'll certainly give him a big welcome in Adelaide when he gets home, but that's about all we've heard. So I guess that'll be when he comes off the when he arrives off the plane and gets home in Adelaide.
Well, Malcolm, you've already got a bronze statue of Maccabi Diva there at Port Lincoln. You might have to get one of Kyle now.
That'll be the next thing, won't it? There'll be a few suggestions moving around in town, won't they?
They
better make the statue golden like the sky was this morning. It was just. I just said, what do you think about, someone asked me about Kyle, and I said, oh, our golden boy. I opened up the curtains this morning and the sky was absolutely gold.
There it is.
Meant to be.
Shining from
beautiful.
Rio.
It was meant to be. And we heard as well that he is an amazing footy player as well, Malcolm. He's unbelievable. He's all-round just an amazing sportsman.
He's an all-rounder. There's no doubt about it. It's in his genes and he's just got something very, very special. Yeah, and he's still got that football in his mind. You just cannot take it away from him.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
He's lovely to watch. He's got a beautiful kick. He's He's just like his father. He's got a big kick on him, and yeah, he's a good ruckman. And but like his grandma says, you can play. You can you do your swimming first. Don't worry about football.
Don't get hurt.
Geez, it's a big game tomorrow night because we usually get Mick Ennis on every week and also Benji Marshall, and both those boys are playing against each other tomorrow night. It's the Dragons versus the Sharks, but Mick's in a meeting at the moment, so Benji Marshall, you are our man.
I mean, you would have heard Mick on this show before.
I have.
There's a lot of cheek. There's a lot of nasty cheap shots. No, he's boring, isn't he?
Oh, sorry. Oh, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, what do you think?
Oh, yeah.
He's just boring, isn't he?
Oh, mate, he's so boring. I was thinking, like, if I don't get a job next year, I was thinking, watching him or listening to him on radio, I could just sneak straight in here. I could be the Marshall Fitz and Whipper show.
Yeah, easy. I like that. Benji. Yep. I like it. And, you know, last time, didn't you give him a bit of a slap across the head?
Yeah, mate. He's just one of those players when you play against, you just want to slap him.
Yeah.
You know, you look at him and you just want to slap him. But then you get off the field and he's the complete opposite. He's the nice guy, pretends he's your mate.
Deserved the good slap, guy. Though, didn't he?
Oh, mate, he rubbed it in my head.
Do you know, as you were actually saying that, I was having a look at our phone box and they just lit up. There was a few phone calls there and someone has rang in. Who have we got on the line?
Hey, boys, long-time listener.
Oh, no.
Mick Ennis, welcome to the show, Mick.
Hello, mate.
She's big one tomorrow.
Michael.
We were just saying mate, how much we love you, mate.
Excuse me, love, could you just grab their knives out of my back?
Whoops. Yeah, didn't know you were going to be there.
Did he give you a bit of a slap last time, Mick, did he?
Mate, he did, yeah. No, I've never lived it down, to be honest, boys.
Oh,
never lived it down.
I can feel the daggers on 360 on Tuesday nights when he's looking at me.
So what's it like out there? Do you sledge each other a little bit, Mick, when you're out there playing against each other?
Oh, mate, you know what? He's too quick for me. I've got to try and catch him to try and just get in his ear, and he just sidesteps around.
He's the biggest liar. He sledges everyone on the field.
What's your standard line, Mick Ennis? What do you go with out there? You got one line that you always use?
Last time he said to me, geez, Benji, you're looking a little bit chubby. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, every time I come to your house, your mum gives me a cookie.
Oh!
Yeah, I made that up. He
keeps making up these stories about me everywhere we go. It's always good fun playing against him. He's he's one hell of a player, so it's always find it dangerous playing against Benji when people have been having pot shots at him from left, right and centre. So a lot of our video yesterday was about a lot of the good things that he's capable of, and no doubt we're going to have to be wary of his bounce back on Saturday night, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, Flano, you've done well. Have you just snuck out of a meeting there? Is Flano about to call you in?
Yeah, no, he's just about to call me in. We're just about to do about half hour on, which shoulder we're going to take off on Benji, to be honest.
Sure. Mick, how's your tummy bug, mate? Are you feeling a lot better now? You got a little Band-Aid and a bit of Vicks and...
Yes, no, I do, mate. I do. I'm just, I struggled last week, to be honest, boys. It was bloody knocked me around. I came in there on Wednesday and did that with you guys, and mate, pretty much just went to the gym, fell asleep in the car park, and then I just woke up and I was that crook.
As you do.
He's had a shot at me there, Benji.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's just throwing a quick one in there. Benji, take his head off tomorrow night. If you wouldn't mind doing us all a favour.
No, Mick, we do appreciate you giving us a call, mate. Good luck tomorrow. I don't know who to barrack for because it's a big one.
I tell you, we've had a motivational speaker down this week, actually, and trying to get really lift us after a poor performance on Saturday night, and I thought Rodney Eade was excellent.
The Rockets.
The Rockets come down.
He said, if you ever want to hit rock bottom, boys, you just got to follow the career of Ryan Fitzgerald.
Oh, that's a bit rough. You've had a great career, mate.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Big game of football, or big round of football this weekend, but we will be watching that game very closely. It's Dragons versus the Sharks. Benj, thanks for coming in, bro.
Cheers, boys.
I want to thank Sandra Sully and Tim Bailey, who we didn't know was a part of the Bingley family.
I had no idea.
Last week on Modern Fan Bingley, episode 6. Episode 7, God, we find out. We meet more members of the Lee family. It just gets bigger and bigger, and we laugh more and more. Here's episode 7 of Modern Fan Bingley.
Hi, I'm Yenda Lee.
And I'm Lionel Lee.
And together we are Modern Fan Bingley.
Episode 7, Would I Lionel You?
Would I Lionel You? Would I Lionel You, honey?
You ever lie
lie to me, Lionel. I'll wrap the cooktop around your chops.
Mum, you need to relax. You're getting grumpier in your old age.
What are you talking about, Lionel? I'm one hip lady. Check out my Spotify playlist. It's 50% Diplo.
But Mum, I need to interact with people more my age.
A wise man once said, Lionel, man who matures quickly never learns his adult lessons.
What does that mean, Mum?
It means chuck on your Ray-Ban SquarePants. I just set up a house party event on Facebook and tweeted all your cool younger cousins. It's time to cut sick with Generation Lee. This is your 19-year-old cousin who just had a boob job in Thailand. Her name is Totally.
Ah, it's Lionel Lee! You're totes famous. Can I get a selfie?
Sure.
OMG, did that face. Duck face. Retweet. Snapchat. Dog face. Hashtag bless. LOL. LMFAO.
This is your alternative cousin from Bondi. His name is Organic Lee.
Oh, hipster. Come on. You can give me something better than that.
Oh, the guy who chucked a mint on the bottom of a cup thinks we could be a bit more creative, guys. Righto, mate.
Just do it, Marshmallow Man.
Mm, okay, then. Let's smoke some ganja and smash a kilo of kale. Wicked.
Yeah, you don't get that fat-eating cabbage, mate.
And this is your overly hygienic cousin who's constantly cleaning. His name is Anal Lee.
Hi, Lionel. Whoa. Oh, this house is an absolute disaster. But I can polish off anything, Lionel. Hope you don't mind me vacuuming in this G-string and leather cab.
Whatever, buddy.
Go, Lionel.
See, Lionel, now you think you've got a sick mum?
Yeah, these guys are great, Mum. I need to hang with them more.
Well, click-clack, front and back. I've entered us into Fan Bing Lee Field. Tomorrow, we're meeting Grand Daniel.
Yeah!
Does Grant Denya know what he's getting into? Did Total Lee get insurance on her Phuket boob job? And just how much does Anal Lee charge for a shaken vac? Find out in the next episode of Modern Fam Bing Lee.
Okay, so hang on a minute. Let's just work this out because I never hear this till it goes to air. So, Sarah, you had a boob job in Thailand.
Apparently.
Yeah, and I was stoned, but the fat guy that put a mint on the bottom of a coffee cup. And who are you, mate? Anal Lee.
Yeah.
Nice leather cap.
I clean too much. I've got OCD.
Fitzy and Whipper.